not from Kelvin, but I welcome you on behalf of the leadership here. I'm Sui Hong Lim. I teach at Baylor in Texas. I've been there for 5 months. Previously, I was in Singapore. It's halfway around the world. But the weather is never like this. There's sunshine year-round, high humidity. You walk around in flip-flops and T-shirts and Bermudas. That's where I come from, and this is really cool for me. So I'm glad to be here. So, in the very brief session today, we're going to talk a little bit about what Asia can offer to the North American congregation. What the stuff that you can bring home. The objectives given to me is that things that you can use immediately the moment you're done with this workshop, these are the stuff that you can do. Okay. Minimal steep learning curve so that your congregation can straight away use the material and you as pastor, as worship designers, as musicians can straight away have access to things that you can do. Okay. So very quickly, I've given you some songs which I thought this would be helpful for you. Feel free to use those songs. Most of them are in public domain, so and you know what they are from. We'll talk a little bit about what they are. But for example, let me show you. When you see number 2, there's a particular song that you see there. When you see 2 copyright signs underneath, basically means it's Creative Commons. You can just feel free to use it. Okay? You don't have to worry about copyright laws in this particular case. When you see the double C, as long as you acknowledge where it is from. So for your information, the song under number 2 is from the World Council of Churches. So as long as you acknowledge this particular group, you are fine. Okay? And you flip to the next page. This one's a little bit dicey. I mean, if you are from other parts of the world, like in Asia, then you can feel free to use because I control the copyright in Asia. But you're here in North America, you have to contact GVGM to use the music. Okay? Unfortunately, you know, the people from Asia gets a break when you're in Asia. Okay? But not here in North America. Okay? Sorry, guys. Then at the back of the song, The Lord's Prayer. This one is still owned by me, nobody else, so you can feel free to use it. You want to sing a Lord's Prayer from Asia, you want to sing in the North American context, go ahead. I still hold the copyright. My only suggestion is when you sing it, just drop me a note, my email address is there, tell me, hey, we use your song, so that I know that it's been sung, you know, and not that it's some paper somewhere. Okay? This course is meant to be very hands-on, very pragmatic, very short, 40, 50 minutes for you to get you into the whole picture. So I will speak quite fast, like a machine gun. Okay, if I'm too fast for you, stop me. Okay, that's what my students at Baylor do all the time. So get to me. Asia. This is what Asia looks like. If you think Asia is only China and Japan, you are wrong. Because Asia includes countries like Russia. That's North Asia for us. Includes countries like Palestine. That's West Asia for us. So guess what? Jesus was an Asian. He's on our turf. Okay? So don't let those of you who are Asians realize we are very, very big. Okay? From as down south as Jakarta in Indonesia to as far north as Russia. This is Asia, my friends. And for some stats, you need to know, we are 17 million square miles. Okay? A population of 4 billion people. We hold 60% of the world's population. That's Asia. We are the largest landmass in the world. Okay? We are the cradle of the world's religion. Hinduism, Asia. Buddhism, Asia. Islam, Asia. Christianity, Asia. So when you read the Bible, it will help you if you remember your Asian eyes. For Asians, for those of us from North America, you need to know the most important thing for Asians is food. That's why when Jesus was called a glutton, the Pharisees and Sadducees did not know what they're talking about. Because food is so important for Asian people. The question that we ask ourselves when you go and visit a home is not how's the weather, like the British, but have you eaten? That is Asian. Go to any Asian home, they will ask you, means have you eaten? Okay? So that is very Asian. It is also the cradle of human civilization. You talk about, if you study world history, Mesopotamia, Sumeria, and all those places where you talk about how humans came about, you know where that is located?
Asia.
Okay? Now,
when you're talking about music, we are one, we hold four of the world's ethno-musical systems. There are five in the world. Okay? Chinese, Indian, Indonesian, Persian, and Western, or Greco-Roman. Out of the five systems that have written theory and notation systems in terms of music making, four of those systems are in Asia. We need to begin to be aware. So Asia is actually a sleeping giant that hopefully in this particular short time you will begin to see for yourselves what are the stuff that you can actually bring and get our fellow brothers and sisters in touch with what is happening in Asia. So Asia is not just China. Okay, sometimes you get freaked out, you're meeting about Chinese. No. We are bigger than that. Okay. Now, in terms of streams of music in Asia, there are three main streams that you need to know. Even though we are the cradle of Christianity, Christianity did not stay in Asia long enough. With the work of Paul, he took a turn to Macedonia and off he went into Europe. You heard about it, the Philippines church was actually very supportive and how that ushered him to go into Europe. So when Christianity came back to Asia, a lot of times in the 18th and 19th century, we received translated songs. Hymns, Amazing Grace were translated into Cambodian, Khmer, Thai, Vietnamese. All those stuff were translated. Okay? We also had transplanted songs in that sense. We had adapted congregational songs. You can now sing In Christ Alone in Thai. You can even sing a lot of songs from Hillsong, Australia, in Thai, in Vietnamese, in Chinese. We do that. We have a lot of adapted songs. Our own people are writing songs in the style of Chris Tomlin. You all know who he is? Okay, good. I'm speaking to people who knows. And in that particular style, in that particular genre of musical style. Okay, so, but there is also an emerging localized congregational song that I will share with you, which we normally don't hear about. And those are some of the stuff that will get you to hear and listen to today. So, let's talk about translated work a little bit. For example, we have this particular Amen. Are you familiar with this particular Amen? Does this work? Where is the on button? Give me a minute. If I can find it. Okay, here we go. Come on, let's go. Sound, please.
Is the little speaker turned on?
I got speakers.
Sitting on the
desk. Okay, I got it. Thanks. I don't want that one. Not a solar flare, but yeah, they say here's a solar flare. No. Oh no. 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 Or something like that will be. Church sing this?
Last 10 years or so.
Last 10 years? You don't sing it anymore, right?
No, we sing it.
You still do it?
Except it says it's Asian, not Danish.
No, it's Danish. The original tune is Danish. That is not Asian. What is happening is that some churches, not some, a lot of Chinese churches in Asia, Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, Taiwan, Hong Kong, even mainland China, still sing this tune. It is still part of the service. It is the Amen that concludes and tells the people, that's all folks, you can now leave the church. Okay? We will sing this. This is the signal song. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's try and sing. You're Korean? Koreans?
Ramon.
Do you all sing this?
What
happened? Well, we can recover this bit, okay? A lot of other people are doing this, so you can sing this tune. Amen. Let's try that. 1, 2, 3, and. Amen. Put your parts.
Amen. Amen.
Something like that. So this is now part of our heritage. If you go to any church in Hong Kong, China, the works, okay? Especially Chinese-speaking churches, without fail, you will hear this tune. It's called the Danish Amen, okay, or the Threefold Amen. This is our heritage from the West, from our missionary days.
Then you have this particular work where you have a secular work, a pop song from the West, ended up in Hong Kong. This is the pop song. Let me play this song for you.
Carry on till tomorrow.
Bad Finger!
The group is called Bad Finger. Very old. This is a worship class, so we not listen to too many pop songs, but it's on the internet. It's called Carry On by a group called One Fat Finger or something like that. Okay? This is a version that has been adapted by the church. Okay, when you talk about music, remember you hear about stories of how the Germans adapt songs from the pub and stuff like that. Hey, that is nothing new with this. It still exists, such work. Okay. This song was recovered in the 1970s, and now you have this wonderful version. Slightly different. Oops, hang on, that's a wrong... Let me go from the beginning. This has been made into an anthem. I arranged it. So if you go to either one of those book exhibitors upstairs, GIA Music or Adoro Music Publishing, you will find an anthem that says, "I wish God's love to be with you." It's a nice benediction piece that has been adapted. Very easy to learn. If you are working in choir, that piece can be learned in one rehearsal, 30 minutes. And then the choir can be ready to sing it within next Sunday. Okay? Very easy to sing. Trust me, I don't write this stuff, you know. I know how pressed musicians are. So this is an example of what is coming up from Asia that has now crossed borders into North America and into Europe already. An adapted work. Okay, next. Here is a work, when we talk about adapted work, how we have taken on Western concepts and made it our own. This is a song from India by a pastor. Let me play for you. what's so Indian about this piece of music, or this particular work? Talk to me.
It kind of reminds me of Bollywood.
Yeah, it's basically Indian characters, but apart from the Indian characters, a little bit of the movement are a bit Indian, but the rest of the stuff, purely Western. The harmonic structure, the melodic line, the rhythm, purely Western. This is the kind of church music that is mainstream in Asia. So when you get to Asia, if you think, oh, I'm going to hear something exotic, that's not going to happen. You're going to hear a whole lot, oh, 4,000 times we sing in Asia, but in a different language. That is the mainstream of hymnody and church music in Asia. Whole lot of translated stuff, whole lot of adapted stuff that comes from the West. But take heart, there is a new wave that's coming in where you will begin to see new stuff coming up. Okay? So this is what is there right now. Here is the next one that you can see. Another adapted stuff. I wrote this, which we sang in our worship service yesterday. Were y'all here yesterday? Okay, let me play for you this particular version. Oops, hang on. It's not working, is it? Come on. So you know this one? You all know this one? Have you seen it? Because in Asia, we are still very much in this Western mode. So this particular tune will work. And I happen to find Chinese text to it. So now this song is going to re-enter into Asia with Chinese text. This is one approach that we are taking now in terms of doing music in Asia as well. Trying to find a language that the people in Asia can use. Now if we have congregations here that are multi-ethnic, multicultural, this is one song that will be highly accessible to your congregation. This song is already in your conference folder of yesterday's service. You can use it with your congregation. They will not object. They will love you for it. You say, it's a song from Singapore. It's from Asia. But it's very Western. That's normal. They will take it. If you were to, yeah.
I just started a job in Hong Kong as a music director in a church there.
Yeah.
And with the Chinese, one of the situations I have is there's lots of Western music.
Right. You are right.
And I'm wondering, where I'm at in Hong Kong, do they desire more indigenous music, or is everybody happy there with Western music and something like that? How would that fit in to the music that I'm planning? Those are Chinese characters.
Those are Chinese characters.
Would it be sung in Mandarin?
They will be sung in Mandarin. This one will be sung in Mandarin. And the Cantonese will be able to do this, but they will need to change a couple of the words kind of thing, to help them in the intonation. But that one, you can get your Chinese colleague to give you the tip. But this is a ready copy that can go right in. It's not in your handout. If you want a copy of this, email me. My email is there. Okay. And I'm happy to send it to you.
And that's something that's new?
This is new.
It's brand new.
It's brand new for Asia. This song has gone around North America, Europe for the last 4 or 5 years already.
You think it'll be a hit in Asia?
Yeah, it will be a hit because, you know, for us, this is good because this is Charles Wesley's theological text.
Yes.
Ye servants of God, your master proclaim. You're changing the tune. And this will be a hit with the young people because it's a hit tune that you can use a band with, apart from using the organ and
the
piano.
I was wondering if it will cross over.
It will cross over. I've done it successfully with both youth groups as well as more formal kind of setting. This one was sung at Bristol at the 300th anniversary of Charles Wesley. There's a grand cathedral with a pipe organ and the people left it up, you know. So it will cross over in either way. There are guitar chords that you can use a worship team with. If you have any problem, then just get the congregation to do the Alleluia. Soloist at the top. So it will cross over anyway. Yeah.
What's the title of this song?
Ye servants of God, or you servants of God. Okay?
It's, the English version is in your handout. The Chinese version is with me. I just did it. Yeah, it's there too.
Page 52.
Yeah, page 52 of your book. So you, it's already there. So feel free to use it. You are in Asia, wherever you are, go ahead.
Okay.
So this is not an original text. It's a translation of Wesley's text.
Yes, this is a direct translation of Wesley's text. And the translation is done by the I got this translation from the Hymn Committee in mainland China. So you can even bring this song into China and sing it there. It will blow them away. Okay? Because the text is approved by them. But the music is new. Okay?
So this is something that you will cross. My hope is that we are going to cross borders with all these different types of music that you can use here. Okay?
Okay. Something new that we also sang yesterday in our service is May the Love of the Lord. And let me play this for you too. Right now, let me show you something that is interesting in the Catholic Church in India, of what we do in terms of what is coming out that really have a strong indigenous character. Next, this is what we sang yesterday at our service as well. You can listen to this. A new composition. If you want to introduce this, let me tell you the story so that you got something to talk to your congregation. You can hear the story. I wrote this with my wife back in 1988. It first started off as a lullaby when my wife was expecting our firstborn. It was a nice lullaby. You always, but as a musician, you must write something for your children, you know. So, which is what I did. So, 1988, it was a lullaby, no words yet at that time. When my son was born, October 25th, we were going to study here in Kelvin for 1 year. Before he moved down with me to Baylor, okay? So when he was born, he was a very big baby because we did not know, but my wife was diabetic. So the baby came up super size, you know what I mean? 9.5 pounds. My wife is small, you know, and this giant baby came out. So anyway, when he was born, he was in this clinic. We didn't know. They had low blood sugar. And then he stopped breathing. But thank God, in His providence and care, we happened to have a neonatal nurse that was back from UK on a holiday and was just doing some local work in the hospital. And she happened to spot that he stopped breathing and revived him. So we were very, very grateful. And from that came this particular text of may the love of God be with you wherever you are. So this song now has actually caught fire and gone to different parts of the world. When you get your choir to sing this song, tell them this story, and that, so that they know that God is with you, regardless of what is coming your way. God is with you, and it really helps energize the song and gives a deeper meaning of connecting with what we are going through in life with the presence of God. Okay, so whenever I tell this story, people sing the song very, very differently. It's very accessible to your congregation. 30 seconds, you can do this particular song. Very easy. Again, the music is also in your, I think, in the worship folder that you can actually look at it. If you need the... Huh? Page 55. If you need the accompaniment, is it there? Do they have accompaniment?
No.
If you need the accompaniment, email me. I will freely send it to you and you can feel free to use it. Okay?
In Mandarin as well.
It is in Mandarin as well.
With the...
Yes, Han Yupini. So if you are trying English, you can actually read in Chinese. Okay, so the middle line.
Yeah, those are the next. They call it something different in Hong Kong when they write out. The
yeah, that's right. It's Romanized Chinese.
Romanized.
Yeah, it's Romanized Chinese or Han Yupinyin. Okay, so Wei Yan Shen Di An. When you read this way, it's basically these characters. Okay, so you can actually get your people to sing in Chinese. Wei Yan Shen Di An. Try.
Wei Yan Shen Di An,
Fu Wei Ni Di Ling.
Fu Wei Ni Di Ling.
That sounds very good. Mei Shi Ke. Mei
Shi Ke.
Ta Di An.
Ta Di An.
Zhu Zai Ni Xin Li.
Zhu Zai Ni Xin Li.
Very good. Ta Di Rong Guang.
Ta Di Rong Guang.
Zhao Yao Ni.
Zhao Yao Ni.
Ci Ai Ban Sui Ni. Yeah, C I is Z I, 慈爱 W or T S, okay, 慈爱伴随你, 无论何处, it's not he, it's her, H E is H E R, okay, 何处, okay, 无论何处, 他的灵,
他的灵,
都永远,
都永远,
伴随你,
伴随你.
That's it. You've spoken in Mandarin already. Okay? So you can use this and sing it in Mandarin. Okay? And don't worry about perfection and accuracy. No such thing. Okay? We all interpret differently. Yeah.
The accompaniment on the opening part sounded very oriental to me.
Yes.
But then when it got down to make his countenance, it sounded very Western.
Yes.
Is that on purpose or?
Yeah. Well, because that's how I got lazy. Okay, I just switched over to Western. I'm classically trained as a Western person, you know. So
I wondered how to finish it in a more Oriental.
You can keep the opening as the same because the opening actually has an ostinato sound of two chords: G major second, and a C major sixth chord. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one measure G major second chord, second measure C major sixth chord. Okay. And if you do that consistently throughout the whole song, it will work.
So say that again. The first chord was
G major second. Okay? And C G two and C six. Okay? And then you follow there's an ostinato pattern that you just keep going that way. It will work throughout the whole song. But I felt that if you were to maintain that, it gets a bit boring for the people. So I'll switch to the Western harmony style, and people will be a bit at home kind of thing. So
you are not instruments.
Piano. You can use piano. If you want, you can use guitar. You can use a guitar chord. I have guitar chords for the actual accompaniment score. Just email me. Okay. Say, I was in your session. I will let this song. Okay. On the recording, which was done by the Kelvin people here, they actually had a band to do it. So you can actually do it with a band too. So the way I create music, because today's session, I feature a lot of my stuff because I don't worry about copyright stuff. I can tell you how I do it. So I try to make it very easy and make it accessible for people. So within 30 seconds, you can learn a couple of pieces. Your choir will feel good, your congregation will feel good, you will be happy. And you are getting into a whole new world in terms of how you get exposed to different types of music. Okay? All right, we move on. Next. This piece has not been published yet, so this is brand new. I'm playing for you a recording that you will hear. It's basically a Thai piece. And the way that I structured the keyboard is to make it sound like the mouth organ of Thailand, from Northeast Thailand. So I'll let you listen to it, and then we'll talk a little bit about this. Sounds like this. Oops, hang on. Wrong place. Da, 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 da. da 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 da. So the piano, you can actually use an organ, pipe organ or electronic organ, classical organ, Allen or Rogers model, and just play this, and it will sound. The accent is always on the first beat, first and third beat. Okay? So this is one way that you can do it. This work has been submitted to GIA, so if they publish it within the next year or two, it will appear, so that you can look at it. If you're interested in this Thai version, let me know. The first line is actually in Thai. Okay, but romanized Thai, so that you can actually sing it in Thai. Let's try that, so that you get an idea of what it sounds like. Ma Thuê, Rao Rong, Pleng Na Masakan, Thuê Ji Lai, San Suen Prajao, Prao Praong, Pen Prajao, Pu Ying Yai, Zhong Hai Jai, Rao Nong Long Wan Ta. Close enough. I'm a Singaporean. That's close enough, okay? And then you can get them to do the Come and Worship in English version. Okay? Again, easily accessible. 30 seconds. That's all it takes to get your people to start singing. Learn the melody first. It's very simple. There are a lot of glides that are involved. You see those little circle and plus signs? Those are the signs for your symbol, finger symbol. The zero means you ding, and then you clap them together on the plus sign. Okay? So, la 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 la. Let's try. La 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 la. Okay, you got to glide. It's not Western. La 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 la. It's la 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 la. Yeah, it's what you do not sing in classical music school. You got to use your body to feel the music a little bit. Let's try. La 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 la. La 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 la. Chewing gum all over the place. Sing as though your voice teacher will scold you. Then you are correct. Okay? Whatever you learn in your classical Western training, throw that to the wind. It does not apply to Thai music. Okay? So this is a way that you enter into a culture, learning something that's different. Okay?
If you start adding instruments in, like I have an Indian worship leader.
Yes.
And she has a squeezy box.
Yes, you can do a squeezy box.
Drum.
Yes, you can do that.
So I know those part of that culture.
Mm-hmm.
What's part of the Thai culture? You said the finger symbols?
Finger symbol, they will have drum. They will have a kind of violin, but they play this way, a Wu style in China.
Similar in China.
They will also have a mouth organ this way, like a harmonica,
okay.
Reed bass. If you cannot do any of those two or all those stuff, a guitar would work. Electric guitar works too. My friend will use an electric guitar with this piece, believe it or not. And then you can actually use organ. These arrangements feature an organ. The GIA music arrangements that I've submitted will have SATB, four parts. That one, you will probably need maybe one rehearsal before you actually perform it. So maybe about an hour and a half or 1 hour just to rehearse it because it's four parts. A lot of imitative counterpoint that will be involved. Don't worry, it's not difficult. And then you can actually do something from Thailand. It's the first piece of Thailand that will come to North America. Mm-hmm. So you will get to see this.
Are there any Chinese instruments that cross over to Western music very well?
Erhu, which is this way, will cross over. It will take over the violin. It's a equivalent of the violin for the Chinese orchestra. This will cross. What will cross over is also the lute. If you do Baroque music of lute playing, the Chinese have an equivalent instrument called the pipa, which is this way. You can play that way too. So that will cross over as well. So if you're doing a lot of Baroque music in your church, you can actually substitute that with Chinese instruments if you want to do that. It will work.
Yeah? So you can actually cross that way. Any questions? Okay, so I'm hoping to open your eyes, and so this piece of music, if you want it, let me know. I still hold the right, so you can get it before I turn it over to GIA or whatever. So drop me an email, keep in touch with me. This is the way to do it. Okay.
What is the name of it again?
This piece is called Ma Tue. M-A-A. Ma Tue. T-H-O-E-D. Rao Rong. That's how I title it. Or you just go, you just say, you're in my session, you want to get the Thai piece of music called Come and Worship God. Okay? The composers are still alive. They are my good friends. They are up in Northeast Thailand. The Sri Swan up there. So I'm trying to persuade them, Kelvin, to bring them in so that you really experience that. It'll blow you away. Okay? So they have been doing this kind of groundbreaking, emerging work of Thai music, putting new text, new tune with Thai instruments. She's a dancer, and so she's done before the White House back in the 80s kind of thing. So very exciting people. So this one piece that I got permission from them to do. So I hope you like this. Another piece of work. When you talk about Asia, we always forget that Russia is part of Asia. So this is a setting of N. Kennedy, very famous Methodist hymn in Russian style. You will hear this piece of music sung by an American, but the composer is Russian.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain for me, who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Tis mystery all the immortal dies who can explore his strange design.
Okay, you can listen to this. These are songs that the Methodist Church has, the mission board of the Methodist Church have been going around commissioning people to write. So there are resources out there called the Global Praise Song Collection. Very short pieces from all over the world, okay, that you can use as a choir for four-part, for unison singing. So this is from that collection. Okay, Global Praise Song Collection, Volume 1 to 3. This is from the Volume 2 version. Go to Adoro Publishing or go to Adoro Publishing upstairs, because I told them to bring it in. You can actually look for it. If you cannot find it there, go to GIA, because those are the two companies that actually picks up a whole lot of this kind of stuff. Okay? You can pick up these kind of songs and straight away use for your congregation. These are the resources. Yeah. Any questions? Okay? Okay, we move on very quickly. Apart from music, the things that Asia can contribute to North American churches is the need for silence. I think a lot of times our worship in the West is noise, 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 on, 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 movement, 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 everything is just movement. There is no time to just sit still and relax and just be quiet. The essence of learning to be quiet comes from Asia. Think about all our people are so fascinated with Zen Buddhism, with yoga, and guess what? Christianity can also be quiet. We have to learn from that. Jesus retreated up to the hills just to be quiet. Hey, that's in Asia. We need to learn from our master. Learn to be quiet. So this one gift that we have. The other important thing that we can learn from Asia is this whole sense of mystery. There is no need to explain everything till death. For example, why must we know when does the body, when does the bread and the cup becomes the body and blood of Christ? Why must we do so much theology and try to... At this moment, when the priest puts out his hand, kapoom, magic happens. No, 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 no. In Asian culture, we don't worry about such things. When Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood, we accept that. It's a mystery. We do not need to explain everything. Some things is best kept as mystery. An experience rather than a didactic explanation. So when you are developing a worship service,
the gift that Asia can give you is to have this sense of mystery. Create, build in mystery into your worship service. Build in time of silence. Build in time where the people can just sit there and be in the presence of God without other distractions. There's no need to have silent meditation and the keyboardist is still playing. No. Give the keyboardist a break. Give your people a rest in their ears. Let them experience the stillness of the presence of God. This is the best gift, I think, the church from Asia can give you. Okay? So you can instantly introduce this coming Sunday, if you have not planned the service, you know? Yes?
I have a Chinese minister that I work for, one of them, and she always insists I play while she's praying.
You tell her, no, we need to be Chinese, stop playing.
I should re-instruct her, maybe.
Yes, tell her, no.
You're right, the Western churches come into these churches in Hong Kong and bring this continual noise.
I mean, it's lovely music, but there is no need. We need to get in touch with being silent, because that is the tradition of Asia. We need to look at how we can spend time in hours of meditation without any distraction, without any noise. We need to recover. That is part of our Christian heritage. Okay, that comes up from the Palestinian people as well. Okay, the other thing we need to learn is there is a kind of mystagogical instruction that also come out from people like Saint Cyril of Jerusalem. What do I mean? Basically, if you go to this article, which I think is on the website, you will see that they actually baptize the people. And then they explain what they did. They experienced the act of worship before they had things to clarify why they did it. This is a reversal from the Western thinking. Western thinking is, we will explain, make sure you understand, then we do the action. Reverse the process. That's what Asia can offer you. Experience it first. If we have never got our people to do a lantern service using candles, let them go through it. Then talk to them about the particular event. If you are talking about preparing people for baptism, you can baptize them and then explain to them what you have gone through in your baptism. What was the meaning of the symbol of water? Why did you light the candles? Why did you do the procession? Coupling experience with instruction, experience first with instruction, is something that Asia can give to you, that we can use straight away already. Okay? So that you don't have to keep explaining everything. Experience the worship. Let the experience feed your soul, feed and nurture you, so that you actually grow into it. And that will captivate your people. Okay, so like for example, Ambrose of Milan learned, what did you see at the baptistry? Water, certainly, but not just that. You saw the presbyters. He talked about it after they've gone through the experience. This is something that we can pick up from Asia. Here's a very quick clip from Egypt. This is a Western tourist. Oops. Oh, where's the sound? Come on. You need to hear this. They're saying, Kyrie eleison.
Christianity came here with St. Mark from the Holy Land in the 1st century, and it flourished all over Egypt until the rise of Islam in the 7th century. Now, only 10% of Egyptians are Coptic Christian. There are many aspects to the service that I recognize, and many that are strange to me, especially the prostration in prayer that stems back to the earliest Christian practice that was later adopted by Islam. I find it all strangely beguiling, almost mystical. It really is a world away from my own Protestant tradition. In an Egypt where religion is becoming increasingly polarized The number of monks here has gone up from 10 to over 100 over the last few years. The monks, though, are here to pray. Each one has left his old secular world forever and even had his name changed. But few have chosen the solitary life except one. And he's the monk I'm seeking.
And so there is this whole movement of using your body to worship God. We are not talking about just standing and jumping and clapping, but usually doing prostrate, lying down, kneeling and stuff like that. Those are all gifts that comes up from Asia, from the early church. We need to learn to recover such multi-sensory worship patterns in our worship service, so that we are not just drowned with sounds and visual effect, but we actually worship God with our bodies as well. Simple gestures of lifting our hands, of this Oran's posture. This is not a charismatic Pentecostal invention. This is from the early 3rd century. It's the Oran's position of prayer, of worship to God. So it's common. You can easily introduce this to your congregation. I do this with very easy humor. I always say to the people, you can do this. Those of us who have faith, that believe that tomorrow will come again, we can lift our hands to our head. We faith, you know, we believe it. You want to try with me? You have to stop down and stand up and go. Come on, this is interactive. This is Asia. Okay? Up to your head, okay? Those of us who believe that God is God and God will take care of us, up to your shoulders. And those of us who have faith that believe that God can move mountains and change all things, above your head. And your people, thank you, take a seat. And all the people will just lift it up because they are able to connect with you. So tell stories, use humor, connect with them. Get your congregation to explore the different postures that can be done. If your church has never done kneeling, you need to experience that when you're praying. Do a part intercessory prayer with kneeling. You as a music director, as a pastor, do that. Set the example right at the front. Invite your congregation to join you. Get a few brave choir members to be with you, and you can do this. Okay? If you have never done lifting of hands, this is the time to explore this. Because worship of God involves your whole person, not just your head. It's important for us to remember that. Okay? Tell me, how much time do I have? I'll try to run through very quickly. Am I done already?
15 minutes.
Okay, very quickly. If you have never been to Syria, I want to show you this clip from Syria. When we talk about, we struggle with churches that are breaking. Why? Because the youth have a style of worship. The adults have their own style of service. Guess what? The church in Asia offers to you intergenerational worship, where worship is experienced, not taught. You experience worship. This is from Syria. I was there and I got this one. Look at who starts the service. Oh, sorry, that's on the ground. You will see a group of kids leading. See? See a person kneeling as a cross comes through. Here you see people receiving communion. Notice who are sitting in front? Kids. See, little ones. Little ones, right in the front row. The best seats in the house. How do they learn? By experiencing it. By seeing it with their own eyes. By coming up to receive communion. Involved in the service. When they walk past, they see people bow. Okay, respecting the scriptures. Little kids. Shaking their feet, waiting for the service to go on. The cantor of the service. The women are in the sanctuary, coming out. Okay, they are enough, they are going out. Nobody asked them to leave, they just go, and then they come back in a bit later on. So you have a form of service
where there is no separation between, well, because you're you, you have a special interest needs. You're adult, so you have a particular kind of focus in your worship service. In Asia, everybody sits in the same service. Service is experience, not necessarily understood rationally. But it's experience, it's ingrown, it's absorbed. We are like sponges. The people will learn, and that's how they learn. I think it's time for us in our worship services in the West to begin this whole body experience, rather than just, well, let's captivate and capture their thinking. No. Let them experience where they are. If they are bored, they are bored, but they will learn the way that we worship. That is how we talk about passing tradition. That is the greatest gift Asia can give you. We are not afraid of holding on to our tradition, even those that come from the West. We value that. We value our translated hymns. We value our translated liturgy. But we also value creating something that's of our own. We need to value both. The problem with the West right now is that we have a throwaway culture. We sing Chris Tomlin for the next 6 months. Next thing will be Rupert Morgan. Next thing will be another composer on the road. How about Chris Tomlin? What did he write? Well, we're not bothered. We need to retain what is the heritage of the church. What is great is thy faithfulness must continue. It continues in Asia. We still sing that. We still have our Dutch threefold Amen. We still have song that goes back to the 18th, 19th century from the West. It's part of our repertoire. But we do not stop there. We bring in other stuff. And we do not break our people into different groups, interest groups, so that they can worship God better. No, we are a family. The emphasis of community is very strong. Ask the young people here. That's that. That's all.
Yeah. I'm just interested because most of all the Asian churches that I have lived in the U.S., they're very age segregated.
Yeah.
All the way up to high school, the kids maybe would never be in church with their parents.
That's right.
So it's not that way in a lot of...
I mean, in Asia, in urban churches, yes, that is happening. Because we buy into the youth program, the youth ministry, the seeker-sensitive service from the West. But in more traditional societies like India, that's not going to happen. In Cambodia, that's not going to happen. They only have one pastor and they have only one generator. They can only run one worship hall at the same time. There's going to be one service. Like it or not, there's a service going to begin. In certain churches, like the Greek Orthodox Church or the Syrian Orthodox Church, there's no such thing as youth service with band. You're all in one service, like it or not, like the kid there. Okay, you are in it. And you will grow up having a tradition. Tradition is handed down automatically. It is not taught. It is experience. You know your tradition. And that's why when the first generation of Asians came into the US, and then they had children, there was a lot of tension. Because the 1.5 generation of the children wanted to break free and be like Americans. But the parents are still holding on to the idea that you must come to church and be part of us and you will learn as we learn. Of course, there's a kind of rebellious nature that will the tension like this. The point is, don't give in to the tension. The tension is expected. Welcome the tension. Live with the tension. Know that this is part of your tradition. This is part of who that makes you as the body of Christ. So there is a time that we need now in the 21st century is to put praise and worship style and the traditional liturgies and the traditions that we have together. The time is now. You are the generation that we can look into this. How can we merge all this so that worship is holistic? It's not splintered by age group. It's not splintered by interest. But that the worship is not about pleasing us or making us feel comfortable, but it's about pleasing God and how we can stand as God's people, united in different languages, different age group. We may have different ideas, but I think we can take 1 hour of it all together. It's possible. But we must be very deliberate and have a very strong theological sense of why that we worship this particular way. And we are called, Psalms 133, to live together, to be together in unity. So worship is the only time that we can do that. So this is something that we must not forget. Okay? Do not compromise and try to jumpstart services based on interest or age group. That is a mistake. And this is something that the Asian churches are trying to tell our Western brothers and sisters. Don't go in that path because you will regret it down the road. You need to, because there's no way you can pass tradition that way. You're shortchanging yourself. There's no way you can connect to history because you are going to that kind of interest group. You need to know who you are as God's people. Your identity is important. Okay? We go on to the next slide very quickly. How we greet one another in Asia. We have the bow from North Asia. We talked a little bit about it in our worship service yesterday. We have this namaste greeting from Thai, from India. I think in Cambodia or North India, you also do this. Different positions. Some this, whatever. But there's always a bow with this kind of gesture. Okay. So what I've done was to create a gesture that holds all this together. What does this gesture mean? It means I respect you. I greet you. I welcome you, kind of a greeting. So you couple that with the bow of the North Asian culture, this of South Asian, and you put them together. You do a little clasping of hands and a little bow. Minimal eye contact. People are comfortable. No bear hugs running around chasing each other in the church. You know, kind of thing that terrifies me a great deal. Not so bad now. You know, I'm in Texas. You know, I have to do this. You know, but when I first came here, man, that freaked me out. That's why I told Michael Hall, no, we have to do this, in chapel, you know, so we picked it up from there. So there are different postures that you can encourage your people to express the presence of God in you, okay? The other way, this is a posture where you can prostrate with your hands upright, as a prayer posture. If you are doing your personal devotion, this is a posture that reveals submission and humility. And total surrender to God. One posture that you can use. Okay? Some of the posture that can come up from Asia. You need to understand, Asia gives to the West a lot of communication, in the communication, within the communication spectrum, we present to the church in the West non-verbal. A lot of it is symbolic, gesture-based, posture-based. When you come to a senior person within the Asian culture, we will bow. The person who is junior will bow the lowest. If you go to Google, you can actually Google a picture of President Obama meeting the Emperor of Japan. And Newsweek talked a whole big deal. Why is the President of the US bowing so low to the Emperor of Japan? It has nothing to do with ranking, but it has everything to do with seniority of age. The Emperor of Japan is much older man than the President Obama. So of course, as a junior in terms of age, you need to bow compared to... He's not worshipping the Emperor, no. It's respect in terms of age, okay? So you need to be very clear how that works in terms of bowing. Posture is not new. 4th century church, I told you the Orange position of the early church. These are actually archaeological digs, and they have found drawings of these pictures that you can see. Okay, so there are different types of greeting. In Asia, we can do communions. Our communion idea is always a concept of a family meal. So this particular picture done by my friend in California shows communion as a wedding banquet. So you have a Chinese banquet with a table that says the upper room. Very quickly, some pictures. This is a church in Singapore. Notice the altar rail, altar space, is round. You need to understand, for Chinese culture, a rectangular table, long rectangular table, signifies judgment. So we don't use rectangular tables. Because it talks about judgment. Most of the time, when you have family dinner, the tables are usually round. If you go to restaurants, wedding dinners, they are usually round. Why? It's equality, it's symbolic of family, community. That's why it's round. So, when you're doing communion in your church, when you're talking about establishing community, do round. Don't do rectangular tables. Okay? That's my advice to you. So, this church, which was I helped design this thing, we have a round altar area, we have a round communion table. They're emphasizing. And this is not new. If you go to Hong Kong, you'll see the same thing, where we incorporate the whole concept of family or circular ideas. Any question? I'm actually done for my presentation. Yes?
Can you say more about why the rectangular, what's the origin of the rectangular tables?
Okay. In our legal system, the British legal system, at least Hong Kong and some of those countries, every time you go to the courts, I'm not sure whether you've been to courts here, I hope you never get to go to courts, but if you go to courts here, the tables are always long and rectangular. That has a kind of barrier that blocks from where the judge sits and where the people are there. If you've never been there, you need to go and pay a visit and take a look. So that concept sits on our mind. Whereas for us to be a congregation, to be a family, the table is always round. The reunion dinner that we have, our Thanksgiving equivalent, the family usually sits at a round table, never rectangular. They can help it. Of course, it's cheaper to make a rectangular table, but more traditional homes will be round. Yeah.
Regarding liturgical colors and pyramids in the church in Hong Kong, they need to replace the pyramids on the altar table.
Right.
And the American minister there, you know, felt that because the color white signifies death.
Yes, never use white.
Do not have white, because liturgically, white is on Christmas and Easter,
right.
But avoid the white.
Avoid the white, use gold. Gold is very common. Use gold or use red. Red
yes.
is blessing, gold is blessing.
Purple and green.
Purple over. Purple and green, okay. Yeah.
The white is.
Yeah, white is a bit of white. It's like since a funeral kind of thing. If you do white for communion, it works.
Yeah.
The remembrance of Christ's suffering, that works.
That works.
Yeah, for
yeah.
white. For Asian congregation, huh? Black is also a color that you have to be very careful when you're working with black. Black is also for death, for us in our Asian culture
yes.
as well. Okay? So there are certain colors that you can take note of, and the way that you structure a church and design a church, and the way that you use the things. So these are brief things that you straight away can use already in your church and be connected and help you get your people to really experience a different approach to worship. Yeah.
Are there any books or websites that can kind of give us more if we want to kind of delve more into sort of Asian culture?
Yeah. Get in touch with me. I'll try to figure out some books because right now I don't have that offhand right now
okay.
for you to tell. But in terms of musical resources, they are available. I can just give you a list right away. The Global Praise Star, the hymnals from Hong Kong, hymns for Universal Praise, HUP, that kind of stuff. You can actually get. The hymnals for Hmong people too as well. You're not aware. You can actually dig into that. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
For your patience and for being here. Have a good time.